Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we discuss romances and relationships in our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. I do want to have a side note because I love Melanie Hamilton so much. I named my fish after her, Miss Melly. And I love Olivia de Havilland's portrayal of her in the movie so much, but there's a lot more in the book about Melanie than there is in the movie, and I feel obligated to say, as a side note, which is actually a big note, but when Ashley wants to move north, Scarlett manipulates Melanie, and Melanie then, you know, cries to Ashley, no, we have to help Scarlett, we can't move north. In her argument about moving north versus, and when they're arguing about it, when she and Ashley are arguing about whether or not they should move north or stay, and he would work for Scarlett, she says that if they move to New York, their little son, Beau, will not be able to go to school because they could not permit him to attend class with, quote, Yankee children and pickaninnies. Because in the North, pickaninnies, black children, that was a quote, that's not me talking, quote, you know, they are going to school together. She thinks, now whether that was really true in the North or not, that schools were desegregated, I don't, you know, some were, some weren't, depends on where, you know, where you were in the North. So in Georgia, the schools were segregated by race, and so of course Beau would be able to still attend school if they stay in the South. He would be able to go to school with other little, you know, post-Civil War white gentlemen children, you know, and I say gentlemen because girls didn't really go to school, boys did. So he would still have his nice little Southern society to be in. And in the novel, in the book, Melanie is quite racist. She's more verbally racist than Ashley, than a lot of other characters in the book are. And on behalf of her child, I mean, she's racist on behalf of her child. It's just horrific in modern terms. And, you know, this is something that's in the book that's really hard to deal with. But she's not portrayed that way in the film. In the film, you would never expect Melanie to say something like that. I think in the film she does reference going to school, but it's not in context of race. It's just she doesn't like Yankees. She's scared of them. They're, you know, they've destroyed everything, so she doesn't want him to have to go to school with Yankees. But there's nothing in the movie that is, you know, her racism does not come out in the film. So if you've not read the book, audience out there, and you read it for the first time, just make up your mind to face the fact that Melanie Hamilton Wilkes is a racist. And it's very unpleasant, you know.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it up, because, yeah, it is easy to be like, well, Melanie is so good, especially compared to a lot of our main characters, that, oh, you know, I forgot that she said this, that, and the other. But, I mean, like you said, she's willing to be racist for the sake of her child. Mm-hmm. She's also willing to be racist for the sake of her husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's going to lie and be an alibi while he's off doing things with the KKK.
Exactly. Melanie, who wouldn't lie to you know, I mean, Melanie is not a liar. She's a good, you know, I mean, Scarlett lies. Melanie doesn't lie. But you're right. When Rhett saves Ashley from... when the KKK, when they're off doing their thing, and the Yankees find out and go kill Frank Kennedy, Frank Scarlett's second husband gets killed, Ashley's wounded, Rhett rescues them. He's not at the quote meeting, which they're really burning out Shantytown, but that's another story. You know, he saves them, and Melanie goes along with the lies that are the alibi because, you know, number one, it's her husband and his life is at stake. And number two, she believes in the cause of what they were doing as KKK, yep. you know, people. So, and Scarlett's just shocked by that. Scarlett's just horrified and shocked, you know, but it's Melanie who's like, yep, that's what they're doing, yep, okay. You know, it's like, wow. So, Ashley, again, going back to Ashley, you know, that role that he plays coming from this privileged background really informs so much about the Old South, if you will, and that dichotomy between the Lost Cause mythology and the people in the South who let go of that. He's kind of straddles the line sometimes, but he pretty much is on the side of letting go of the past. He's viewed by everyone he knows. His contemporaries view him as an honorable and educated man, but they do see he's kind of dreamy and head in the clouds, and you know, he loves books more than normal things that young Southern gentlemen really like horses, riding, drinking, and girls, you know. But he is also such a clear contrast to Rhett Butler. Rhett, who is so decisive, so full of life, ruthless, practical, willing to do whatever it takes to survive. Ashley is just the total opposite of that. He's so indecisive. He's so impractical. And even Melanie admits this on her deathbed, you know. I mean, even Melanie, who would never say a bad word about him, you know, she knows it and she admits it. Ashley would resist doing so many of the things that Rhett would do because, you know, those things aren't gentlemanly. They're not proper. So we have this character who is so gentlemanly and proper, and yet he strings Scarlett along because of lust and physical attraction for years. I mean, his fantasy is Scarlett O'Hara. Her fantasy is him. They have this mutual fantasy going on, but he's the one who really keeps it alive by dangling himself in front of her all the time. He never acts on it. He won't give in to it. And throughout the story, you know, he stays true to that, because if he did, he would be behaving ungentlemanly, you know. But in reality, he's not being very gentlemanly anyway, because he's letting her think that he loves her, and really he just lusts after her. And so that's kind of creepy too. He's not a great character, but I do think he's a good representation of what I will say is a small subset of post-Civil War Southerners, where he represents that kind of gentleman soldier who doesn't long for the past. He does not represent the Southerners from Mitchell's youth and social circle who refought the Civil War every day, every battle. They, you know, told of the battles. They extolled the virtues of the Confederacy and the cause, and generation after generation perpetuated prejudice, discrimination, and racism. That's not who Ashley represents. Those people are in the book. I mean, Melanie's one of them, Scarlett's one of them. They're all in the book. But Ashley doesn't represent those people from Margaret Mitchell's youth. He's kind of like the title of the book, Gone with the Wind. He represents the understanding that something is gone with the wind, and that title is from a poem. The name of the poem is actually Latin, so I don't want to try to pronounce it out loud because it's been a long time since I did. But you can look it up, audience out there. It's by Ernest Dowson, Dowson, and it's in the third stanza. That the line from the third stanza is, "I have forgot much, Sinara, gone with the wind," and then it goes on to talk about, you know, that feeling that you have. And Margaret Mitchell had said that, you know, when she read that third stanza of the poem, that it had this far away, faintly sad sound. That stanza just evoked that, and that's what she wanted, and that's why she chose to use Gone with the Wind as the title of her book, which I think is very interesting, because I equate that with Ashley's character in a lot of ways. I think he represents that kind of faint, sad, far away, ephemeral character that you can't really, like, pin your feelings on, because there's just not a lot there. He's gone with the wind as well. You know, does that make sense?
It does. No, and I agree. I think that he does represent that title very much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want me to try to pronounce this Latin?
You can, yes, please do. Yeah, in case anybody wants to find it.
Non sum qualis erum bonae sum regno cinerae.
Yeah, like I said, just look up Ernest Dowson, you know. It's pretty much what he's famous for, so you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.